What kind of new year will you have? Will your new year be really new, or will it be a year filled with leftovers? Many things, limiting beliefs, traditions, attitudes, customs, thought patterns, and emotional reactions are carried over from year to year. Usually we do not keep these things for just a year, but hold on to them over long periods of time. The tendency to hold on to old burdens is responsible for the many people we see bent over, functioning under heavy, burdensome loads of the past. They seem to carry the weight of the world on their shoulders. In ancient times, it was a Chinese custom to pay one's debts at the end of the old year so that one could begin the new year free of limiting conditions. Wouldn't you like to be able to do that? Think of the sense of freedom it would give you. What are some of the things that may prevent you from closing the chapter on the old year? What are some things in your life that are holding you back? Have you failed in some way this year? So what? You have found a way that won't work. The new year will enable you to try something different, to use a new approach. Have you had an unfortunate experience? Forget it. It has passed and by no means should be allowed to be a millstone around your neck today. Yesterday is not today, and neither are you the same person today that you were yesterday. Has someone hurt you during the past year? Why dwell upon it? Now that you are growing in understanding of yourself, you do not need to give anyone power to hurt you. Bless the person and know that when he knows better, he will do better. Let it be the other person's problem, not yours. Have you lost someone through death during the past year? Take a right perspective on it. Each person is a free soul and thus able to move through the experiences of life and death according to his soul needs. You can face life. You can assume your responsibilities for today. If you love another enough, you will free him and bless him to move along in the Father's household of life. Excessive grief shows self-pity and not love. Give thanks for the experiences that you had with that individual, but be willing to accept that the experience is over, and you must move on, adapting to present conditions. A gentleman recently went to look at a new home. He was told that the selling price was $60,000. Ridiculous, he said. Why, last year I could have bought the same house for $40,000. True, replied the seller, but this year is not last year. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all realize in every way that this year is not last year? The average person carries a burden of many depressing memories. He seems to feel obligated to have a sad expression and a worried mind. He talks of his near accidents, his losses, his narrow escapes, his problems and afflictions. Have you ever noticed how many people seem to have instant recall on the disagreeable experiences they had? People who indulge in complaints, resentment, and bitterness and pessimistic attitudes tell a great deal about themselves. People who are bitter and discouraged, whining about the injustice of life, give evidence of their own inability to cope with life. These attitudes of mind bear witness to personal weakness and the failure to take control and charge of oneself. It is a fact that most depressed, downcast people are doing the least. Idleness causes many problems as encourages the tendency to bemoan one's fate. A prisoner in France years ago had tattooed on him, "The past has deceived me, the present torments me, the future terrifies me." Such attitudes become an excuse for do-nothingness. During the past year, many have allowed themselves to be pampered. These people depend upon other responsible people to do for them what they are unwilling to do for themselves. Thousands in our country alone expect the government, through welfare programs, to do for them what they refuse to do for themselves. Perhaps it is a little comfortable to stay in the infancy state where we do not have to accept the responsibility for ourselves. Yet our spiritual growth and unfoldment is hampered by refusing to act and respond as a thinking, capable being. What about your new year? Are you ready to let go of the old and your old ways, attitudes, and habits so that you can move unhampered into the new? How many times have you made New Year's resolutions and really kept them? Are you not quite ready for the new and different that comes when you move forward into something new? Jesus had some rather strong words to say about those not willing to move forward. He said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." The plowman must set his sights ahead of him if he expects to plow a straight furrow. Today is not yesterday. The new year stands before you with many possibilities. Consider it to be a clean slate that has no mark upon it except what you put on it. There is no mark of yesterday upon your new year. It is your year to do with what you will. Will your new year be filled with new thoughts, new habit patterns, new purposes, and new adventure? Will you experience new joys and new peace, or will you stay back, frantically trying to hold on to yesterday and trying to squeeze today into its mold? The new year is bursting with promise. It stands before you with many gifts. Consider the gift of God's Spirit that is within you. Consider as a part of this gift the 12 spiritual qualities represented by the 12 disciples. God has given you 12 spiritual powers that make up your own creative, Christ-like nature. Will you take those with you into the new year? Will you let them become a part of your new life in the new year? It is our privilege to make active these qualities that are within us. The disciple Peter represents faith. Faith is the foundation of all that exists. We should each seek to place our faith in God and His unlimited power of absolute good. The disciple Andrew represents strength. Strength enables us to be steadfast and strong, holding fast to our faith in God. We must cultivate spiritual, mental, and physical strength, for all are essential to our full expression. James, the son of Zebedee, represents wisdom. The activity of wisdom in us enables us to use the divine intelligence of God in making our decision. Wisdom enables us to choose wisely in thought, word, and deed. John represents love. Love is a healing, harmonizing force in life. Love enables us to generate a feeling of goodwill, trust, and confidence in others. It bypasses differences, enabling us to fulfill the law. Philip represents power, the ability to accomplish, to perform, and to do those things needed to be done by us. This power gives us dominion over ourselves and thus over our world. Think of each of these qualities as being a part of your natural heritage. Together they make up those qualities necessary in order for you to express at your highest and best. Bartholomew, called Nathanael in the Gospel of John, represents the imagination. All the forms that we see began in the imagination. Through the activity of imagination, we perceive in mind our good and then can direct ourselves toward it. The disciple Thomas represents understanding. Understanding enables us to have an intuitive knowledge that gives us insight that goes even beyond our reasoning process. Understanding helps us to know and understand ourselves, God, and our life better. Matthew represents the will, which has been called the executive power of the mind. The will is the focal point around which all of our actions center. It gives us the power to act decisively. James, son of Alphaeus, represents order. Everything in life and in the creative process involves order. We need order in our thinking as well as in our outer life and surroundings. The Bible tells us that order is heaven's first law. Simon the Zealot represents enthusiasm. Enthusiasm provides us with the impulse to go forward, to achieve, and to overcome inertia and stagnation. Enthusiasm is an exciting power without which we cannot be effective. Thaddeus represents renunciation. This involves our ability to say no and to renounce anything that is not of God. It enables us to eliminate all falseness from our lives and wrong conditions from our mind, body, and affairs. Renunciation enables us to release the past and move ahead into our new adventure with the Spirit of God in us. Judas represents life. Through the right use of our life forces, we become a real power for good in our world. This life energy must be used purposefully and meaningfully. Just think, these 12 qualities are a part of your nature. You need only let them express in and through you. Set a daring goal for the new year based upon this knowledge. For your use and direction, there are the qualities of faith, strength, wisdom, love, power, imagination, understanding, will, order, enthusiasm, renunciation, and life. It's your time to make a clean sweep in your mind. Get rid of all carryovers from the past. Bring to a halt those patterns of thinking and living that are not serving any useful purpose. Replace beliefs in lack with those of abundance. Let your thoughts of sickness be replaced by ideas of health and wholeness. Replace any discordant relationships with love and understanding. Give up depression for joy. Carry no mark from the old year into your new year. You can move into a complete newness of life. Think upon the words from ancient Sanskrit. Look to this day, for it is life, the very life of life. In its brief course lies all the realities and verities of existence, the bliss of growth, the splendor of love, the glory of action. Yesterday is dead, never to return, and tomorrow is out of sight. Today is all there is. Therefore, look well to this day.